Okay, let's get back. A few more properties of the Fourier transform, and then we can move on to something else. When you differentiate a signal or an image with respect to one of the variables, let's say partial derivative with respect to x, then in the Fourier domain, the effect is multiplication by j2 pi u, where u is the frequency variable corresponding to the variable with respect to which we took the derivative. So you would have seen this in the time domain, where taking the derivative of the signal in the time domain would lead to multiplication by j omega in the frequency domain. Now, in an image domain, you can take the partial derivative in the x direction or the y direction, and correspondingly, you get multiplication with j2 pi frequency u or frequency v. The effect is that the gain of the transfer function, which is j2 pi u, the function that multiplies fuv, or that is applied to fuv as a product, here the transfer function is j2 pi u, and that increases linearly with frequency. So if you take the gain of that, the gain of the filter, if you want to call this a filter, increases linearly with frequency u or v. So the effect of taking the derivative is to increase the strength of the high frequency components in a linear manner, with a linear weight. In practice, with a digital image, you would approximate the derivative using differences. So f prime y could be written as fmn minus fm minus 1n. I'm using the subscript y to indicate the derivative in the y direction, and I'm applying the difference to m minus 1, assuming that we are working in MATLAB with matrix notation. Otherwise, the first axis would be the x-axis, and this would be derivative along the x direction. So depending upon whether you use matrix notation or array notation with the first quadrant of the Cartesian plane, you have to take care of y or x here. They'll be interchanged. Similarly, the partial derivative in the other direction is given by fmn minus fmn minus 1. So the current pixel minus the previous pixel in the x direction or in the y direction, previous in the sense of some scanning order, either in matrix order or raster scan order. Now, operators based upon differences could give you negative pixel values in the result. When you're taking one pixel minus another pixel value, the result could be negative. And the dynamic range of the result will now be one extra bit, because if the input is between 0 and 255, the output could be between minus 255 and plus 255. Now, you may not get that full range in a typical image because you don't expect neighboring pixels to have as large a difference as 255, but it is possible. So the output will have 9 bits per pixel instead of 8. So displaying the result is a question. How do you want to display negative values in the result? You could choose to display by mapping the minimum in the result to 0 and the maximum to 255, assuming that your display device is capable of displaying only 8 bits per pixel. So in that case, the 0 value in the image that has negative and positive values will be some intermediate shade of gray in the display. So we need to account for that. So to display the result as an image, it will be necessary to map the full range of the pixel values, including negative values, to the display range that is available on your display device. If the sign of the difference is not important and you only want the magnitude, then you could take the magnitude, but you lose the sense of the derivative being positive or negative. An important effect of Differentiation is the removal of the intensity information. If you have an image of a certain intensity, if you take this pixel minus the previous pixel and they are equal, the result is zero. Similarly, if in another part of the image there is another area with a different intensity, the difference between two adjacent pixels will again be zero. So the relative intensity between one part of the image and another part of the image will be lost. So differentiation removes the intensity information present in the image. And that is seen in the frequency domain because J2 pi u is multiplied with the frequency, and when u is equal to zero, the Fourier transform of the result is zero. So the zero frequency information is removed in the result, and that means the intensity information is removed. The values for the spectrum for u equal to zero or v equal to zero or both will be equal to zero when you take the derivative. So here is an example. The bar image that we had seen earlier, the rectangle image. If you take the difference in the horizontal direction, you get this negative and positive difference. And this is the Fourier spectrum. So the vertical frequency that we saw here is now removed. If you take the vertical difference, you get this, the upper and lower edges here. And now you retain the vertical frequency, but the horizontal frequency information has been removed. So differentiation removes the intensity information in the corresponding dimension and enhances high frequency values in the corresponding direction. And in the display of the spectrum, you cannot see the magnitude because they're all mapped to the same output intensity range. So you cannot compare that with this spectrum in the display. But if you compare the actual values, you will see that the values are enhanced for the higher frequencies. So here's an example with the myocyte image I showed earlier. The original image, derivative in one direction, derivative in the other direction, and the corresponding spectra. So the information along one axis is removed due to multiplication, due to the differentiation operation and the corresponding multiplication in the frequency domain. And here is a magnetic resonance image of the knee. I skipped the section on the MR image, but I'm using this as just an image, MR or whatever, it doesn't matter. Just for pictorial information here, when you take the derivative, obviously you are detecting the edges. And uniform areas such as the white area here or the black area in the background all give you the same output. There is no distinction between the bright area and the dark area in the derivative. Only edges are shown, and depending upon whether you take horizontal difference or vertical difference, edges in the corresponding direction will be enhanced and edges in the orthogonal direction will be removed. And there is a corresponding enhancement in the frequency domain. Now you could combine the differences in the horizontal and vertical directions. We will see that later on. I showed the horizontal and vertical differences separately. There is an important type of a second order derivative known as the Laplacian, where nabla square fxy is the second derivative in x plus the second derivative in the y direction. In the frequency domain, the Fourier transform of the Laplacian gives you 2 pi square times u square plus v square times fuv, the original spectrum of the image. So the spectrum is now multiplied by u square plus v square. And that arises from the fact that if you take the first derivative, you get j2 pi u. If you take the derivative of this again and take the second order derivative, you get j2 pi u again. So j2 pi u whole square will be j square 2 pi square u square. J square is minus 1. So you get minus 2 pi square u square. And if you do this in both the dimensions, you get u square plus v square. So now you have a quadratically increasing gain. Higher frequency values are multiplied by a factor that increases as the square of the frequency in both directions. And because u square plus v square is the square of the distance from the origin, this is isotropic. So the same thing happens in all directions. So this filter or this operator is an isotropic operator. It will detect edges in all directions in the image domain. And in the frequency domain, components are multiplied by u square plus v square, which is the square of the distance from the origin. Now, to compute the second order derivative in the image domain in discrete coordinates, you could apply the first difference that I showed earlier again to the result of the first difference. So f double prime y, which is the second difference, is obtained as fmn minus fm minus 1n minus fm minus 1n minus fm minus 2n. So apply the same difference again to what you had earlier. If you go back here, take the difference of this again. So this becomes fmn minus fm minus 1n minus, apply the difference to the second part, fm minus 1n minus fm minus 2n. Combine the two, you get fmn minus 2 fm minus 1 plus fm minus 2n. And this is using matrix notation. Excuse me. Now, this operator is not centered at the current pixel, fmn. In image processing, causality is not an issue. In one-dimensional signal processing with the time axis, you cannot look forward in time. So causality is important. In image processing, we have a two-dimensional image, and you can either look at the pixel before or after because the entire image is available to you. So causality is not an important issue at all in image processing. Instead, it is desirable to have operators that are centered at the pixel being processed. You would like to have the operator, which is a two-dimensional operator, with the current pixel in the middle. To do that, you just shift this result by one pixel. So shifting what we had by one pixel will give you fm plus 1n minus 2fmn plus fm minus 1n. That is, add one here, add one here, add one there. So you can rearrange that and bring fmn in the middle and fm plus 1 on the other side, fm minus 1 on the left side. So you are increasing, you can write this in increasing order or placement according to matrix or array notation. Similarly, for the x-axis, you get an operator of the same kind. Derivative in the x or y-axis, you will take the difference in either the m variable or the n variable. So these are the second order differences now centered, just shifted by one pixel. So instead of writing the output here, you write it in the next pixel, that's all. You combine the two to get the Laplacian, and you get this result. Fm minus 1 plus fmn minus 1 minus 4 times fmn, the current pixel. The output is at mn. Plus fm plus 1n plus fmn plus 1. Now, this can be written as the convolution of the image with a mask that is of size 3 by 3, where the weights are minus 4 for the current pixel. This operator is applied centered on the current pixel. So you take this matrix and apply it on the image and multiply overlapping pixels with these weights, with the center of this mask, minus 4, at the current pixel, mn. So convolving a given image with this 3 by 3 mask will give the desired result. Now note that this mask is symmetric about both the x-axis and the y-axis. Convolution requires that this be reversed before you apply to the image for multiplication. But whether you reverse this in the x and y axis or not, the result is the same. So you can apply this as a mask directly on the image or reverse it if necessary, which will mean convolution. The effect is the same. So you have to make sure that you look at the mask, and if it is symmetric, the result is the same. If it is not symmetric, applying just a mask or applying convolution will give you different results. So here is the result of applying the Laplacian mask as convolution to the bar image or the rectangle image, where now you get all edges, horizontal and vertical, and the corresponding spectrum, the higher frequency values are all enhanced with respect to the original. That's hard to see here. And the DC or 00 frequency has been removed. So the center point here is a zero. There's an important point to note here that because we're using the second derivative, we are not just detecting each edge with one output, but the output is double-edged. I'll show this in more detail later, but let me zoom this. Oh, this one. There. So what you see here is that each edge has a positive and a negative output. So instead of detecting edges with one output per edge, you're getting double-edged output. And that is because we are taking the second derivative. The Laplacian is not the first derivative. Whereas earlier, let me see if it'll go back. With the first order derivative, we were getting one value per edge. Okay, so this is an important point to note, that the second derivative will give you double-edged output. If you take the magnitude of this, the positive and negative values, the black and white values, will be both the same, but the output will have a thickness of 2 pixels for each edge. So that's the effect of the Laplacian. So here's the Laplacian of the knee image, where you see edges in all directions, and the Fourier transform of the result. Now the opposite of differentiation is integration. We saw that differentiation leads to the extraction of edges or enhancement of edges. So one would expect integration to do the opposite, that is smoothing or blurring. Integration is smoothing or blurring, because integration means that over a certain range in the image, you're taking all the pixel values and adding. So as you move across the image with a big integrating mask, you are averaging the values over that mask on the image, so it is like blurring or smoothing the image with an eraser. So as the operator runs across an image with edges, at the edges, it'll be combining values on all sides of each edge, which means the edges will be blurred. The result is a smooth image. So integration leads to smoothing or blurring, but then integration could be done in a few different ways. The integration we talk about in general would mean alpha going minus infinity to x in one direction. This is integration in one direction. Then you get 1 over j2 pi u f u v. If you go integration minus infinity to y, f x beta d beta, then you get 1 over j2 pi v f u v. This is just the opposite of what we saw in the frequency domain for the derivative. And again, I would ask you to work out the corresponding relationships that you know already from one dimension, but make sure that you can derive these expressions. But in practice, you don't do integration from minus infinity. In a time domain signal, you may do this from minus infinity to the current time. But in an image that you have acquired, typically you would have acquired an image of a certain area, and you don't integrate from minus infinity. You don't even integrate from the edge of the image, but you integrate over a small area using a mask or an aperture that runs around the image. So this kind of an integration is not performed on an image or even on a signal in general. You use a small window and run the window across the image and integrate only within the small window. So the integration from minus infinity to the current x or y is seldom used. Instead, you go alpha minus a over 2 to plus a over 2, beta minus b over 2 to plus b over 2. So you have a box or a circle. If it is a circle, you must do something else. Here, it is a rectangular box that is centered at the current pixel, and you integrate over that box. Integral fx plus alpha y plus beta. If you want, you can divide by 1 over ab, which is the area of the box for normalization of the area. So this box is moved around the image, and then integration is performed for each position of the window or this box. And hence, this is known as a moving average filter. What is moving is the window or the aperture. And that is what you do in 1D also. This operator applied in one dimension is also known as a moving average or MA filter. Now, if you use a 3x3 neighborhood, you can write this expression as GMN equal to alpha going minus 1 to 1, beta going minus 1 to 1, Fm plus alpha, n plus beta. Then you get GMN is 1 over 9, the sum of these pixels. I have arranged the pixel values in reference to the central pixel FMN in matrix coordinates. So this is the pixel one pixel above, the previous row, the previous column, the next column, and the diagonally connected pixels. So a smoothing filter that is commonly used is a 3x3 mask like this, where you take the current pixel and its 8 immediate neighbors and average them. And that is equivalent to convolving the image with this mask, where all the values within the 3x3 mask are 1 divided by 9, or 1 with 1 over 9 outside. Now, this is the point spread function of the filter. If you were to apply this filter to an image with only 1 pixel equal to 1 and everything else equal to 0, the output is this, with 0 for every other pixel. So this is the point spread function of the filter. And we know that the Fourier transform of this is a sinc function. I showed earlier the Fourier transform for a rectangle function. So this is a rectangle. A square is also a rectangle. So the equivalent operation in the frequency domain is to multiply the spectrum of the image with a 2D sinc function. If you want to integrate in only one dimension, then it is 1 over 3, 1, 1, 1, or 1 over 3, 1, 1, 1 transpose. You can write it horizontally or vertically. And then convolve in 2D using these matrices. So here are examples of blurring the rectangle function in the horizontal direction and vertical direction. It could be a little bit hard to see the effect because the blurring is just a little bit on the edge. The mask is only of size 3. If I had blurred it more with a bigger mask, you would have seen it better. But it is clear for me at this distance and perhaps in the book. If you blur in both directions, x and y, you get this result. Clearly, compared to the original spectrum here, you see a reduction of the high frequency energy here. And in the vertical axis here, and here, in all directions, the high frequency energy has been reduced by the smoothing filter. I've shown some examples with the myocyte image and the knee image, but we can skip those. You can look at those examples in the book. Now let's look at the modulation transfer function in some detail. I have already explained to you what is a modulation transfer function, and you know that from one-dimensional signal analysis, that when you process an image with a linear shift invariant filter, the effect is convolution in the space domain with the impulse response or the point spread function. And in the frequency domain, the spectrum of the image, FUV, is multiplied by the modulation transfer function, capital HUV. So the spectrum of the output image is the product of the MTF with the spectrum of the input image. HUV is known as the optical transfer function, OTF. If you read books from optics, they call that OTF. The OTF in general, or simply the transfer function in electrical engineering, we would call this simply the frequency response or the transfer function. The term transfer function is typically applied in the Z or the Z domain. When you convert the Z variable to frequency, then it's called the frequency response. So this is, strictly speaking, the frequency response of the filter. But you can call it the transfer function. This is a complex quantity in general, as I have explained before. Now, the magnitude of this is called the modulation transfer function or the magnitude transfer function. So MTF typically stands for the magnitude of the optical transfer function. If it is called the modulation transfer function, it could be complex. But the term optical transfer function is also used in some literature. So you have to be just a little bit careful with the term MTF. It could mean the complex modulation transfer function or just the magnitude of the transfer function. The width of a point spread function and the corresponding MTF will bear an inverse relationship. The wider the blurring function in the image domain, the narrower the corresponding frequency domain function, which means it is a low-pass filter. The bigger the blurring function in the image domain, the more the blurring, and the narrower the pass band of the low-pass filter. So the greater the blur, the wider the PSF, but narrower the MTF. More high-frequency components will be attenuated significantly as the blurring function increases in dimension in the image domain and the corresponding filter shrinks in the frequency domain. Now, I have already explained resolution in the image domain. In the frequency domain also, resolution is expressed in the frequency domain as a point along the frequency axis beyond which the attenuation is significant. Now, what is significant? It depends upon the definition. Some may use 0.1 of the magnitude. On a normalized gain, with the maximum gain of the filter being 1, which presumably is at zero frequency, the gain of the filter reduces, and at a certain frequency, it will reduce to less than some threshold, let us say 0.1. That frequency is taken to be the limit of resolution. So if you take a certain cut point, then the larger the area under the MTF, or even if you don't apply a cut point, the wider the modulation transfer function, the more high frequency energy that is passed by the filter, by the system. So if the area under the curve of the magnitude MTF is large, it means the system passes more and more high frequencies with significant gain. Ideally, the system should be an all-pass filter with flat gain, equal gain for all components. Then the system passes everything that is input, so nothing is lost or removed by the system. Then you get a sharp image. Of course, if you want a filter to low-pass filter or smooth the image, then you modify it. But an image acquisition system, your camera, must pass all frequencies of interest with equal gain or high gain. So a large area under the normalized MTF indicates a system with better resolution or more high frequency components preserved than a system with a smaller area under the MTF, which is narrow. So the area under the modulation transfer function in magnitude is an important indicator of the quality of the image captured by your imaging system. This applies to an imaging system in the acquisition mode. So this is an important measure to compare imaging systems. So suppose you are given a number of imaging systems and you are to choose which one you want to buy and use in your hospital or for your imaging application. You could look at the MTFs of these systems. The MTF is typically shown for only the positive frequency in a radial section. As I mentioned earlier, it is assumed to be isotropic. So you don't show the two-dimensional spectrum, which is the MTF, but you only show a radial section, and here are shown three MTFs. They all appear to be Gaussians. They are low-pass filters. Most imaging systems are low-pass filters. Beyond a certain frequency, the gain will reduce, and beyond a certain other frequency, nothing is passed. All physical systems behave generally in this manner. So a physical, real-life imaging system will have an MTF like this. Here, you have spatial frequency at the object plane in cycles per millimeter. So it is in the object and not in the viewing system. And this is frequency in cycles per millimeter, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 millimeters, 5 cycles per millimeter. This is the modulation transfer function normalized so that the maximum gain is 1, which is at zero frequency because it's a low-pass filter. So three systems are being compared here. They say object plane is 10 centimeters above the tabletop. And the best one is the one that has the largest area under the curve, which means the one here. The area under the curve is the maximum for this. These two are comparable, but the area under the curve for these two is obviously smaller than that for this, which is screen film. Screen film with 0.8 millimeter focal spot with a magnification of 1.17. So this is for a specific X-ray system with the focal spot being of size 0.8 millimeter in the target of the tube or on the plane, depending upon whether it is the real spot size or the nominal spot size. And then they are comparing here. This is from Higashida and others. They are comparing screen film with two other digital imaging systems, or I should say the other way around. They're comparing two digital systems with the screen film, which is the standard, which has been known for years, or used for years. One is the II. II here is image intensifier television with 0.8 millimeter focal spot, and another is the same with 0.3 millimeter focal spot. The one higher is 0.3 millimeter. So as you reduce the focal spot size, the MTF goes higher, so there is a little bit more area under the curve. But both of them have smaller area under the curve than screen film. So if you take 0.2 as the cutoff, screen film is passing frequency components up to about 3 cycles per millimeter, whereas the digital system is only going up to 2 cycles per millimeter.